What about the authenticity, Bob Wood, of some of these documents we've been talking about tonight? How do we know they're real?
Well, you have to approach it the same way you'd approach authenticating a document for a courtroom. You can, if you have an original, you have a great advantage, because then you can work on the paper. You can see whether or not the watermark is consistent for the era. You can probably match the type font with a real typewriter if it's a typewriter. And, of course, these days with printing so uniform in laser printers, you really can't do much with a type font on a printed document like that. But if, on the other hand, you work like I was lucky enough to work with the 1954 Special Operations Manual, you mentioned at the beginning of the program, that turns out that was printed on a hot lead printing press, and so you can actually identify the font that was used at the time, and that in effect gives it specific authenticity. There's other ways you can do authentication too. For instance, forensic linguistics is now becoming increasingly popular. That is the idea of matching words that are commonly used by different people, and then getting a probability of association of the author of the document and the document being done by that person.
And that has to do, right, Bob, with if somebody uses, let's say, the word to or a or either to a certain number of times, it becomes kind of unique to that period of time?
Well, that's one technique. Another technique, of course, is to look for words that were special. And I have two documents that kind of good examples of that. Well, one of them is the one that we talked about at the beginning. The FDR document talked about the disposition of material in the possession of the Army. He used in that document the phrase state secrets,
right,
which was very common with him. And so basically, you can find associations that are consistent with the usage of an individual person. Einstein allegedly wrote one of the documents too, and again we found phrases from that are consistent with his writings.
And the FDR is the one who kept using state secrets, right?
Yes, that's right, yeah. Also, you can look at the classification of documents if they happen to be classified, and I guess this source who just called in, the 80-year-old person,
mm-hmm.
sounds like their documents might well have been classified, and you can look at the classification stamps and can check for consistency with the stamps used in that era.
And let me ask you this. He said in the email that during that period, 47, this was stamped restricted, and he said it probably changed to classified later. Did they stamp things restricted in those days?
Restricted was a legitimate classification. It was,
okay,
however, normally used as a classification below confidential, which was kind of restricting the access to official use only. Now, there are cases where the word restricted was implying that it was restricted to only those people who had a need to know.
Need to know,
yeah.
Right.
So there's a couple of different meanings of the word, of the use of the word restricted. But now, to conclude my thought there, if the documents I think you implied also might include some photographs.
Yes.
Yes.
And of course, now the photographs are going to speak for themselves. And there again, you can compare what's shown on those photos with other kinds of things, depending on what it is. If it's a photo of a craft, for example, or if it's a photo of aliens, why that becomes extremely interesting.
Bob, would you say right now that the Psalm 101 training manual about extraterrestrial biological entities and technology, is that, in your mind, the most authentic of all of the documents that you have analyzed so far?
Absolutely. It's a slam dunk for having been printed in 1954. The only little tiny possibility you could raise is, well, was it printed as a piece of counterintelligence to deceive the Soviets to let them think that we really, you know, had a good program going. But the process of imagining why we would do that to deceive the Soviets is really imponderable.
And for people listening in the Coast audience who might not have been acquainted yet with the Psalm 101 document, it goes into great detail about extraterrestrial biological entities recovered by our government. It talks about their technologies, and it has a page with drawings of, would it be six or seven different shapes?
Well, there's four different shapes that are shown on that page. With different points of view.
Yeah. And that the one that is identified in that 1954 document as being even more advanced than the discs is the one that is triangular shaped.
Well, that's right. And the triangle shaped ones are all very, very similar to those that have been reported in the last 20 years.
Exactly. So.
They also have two half page descriptions of extraterrestrial biological entities, type 1 and type 2. And I actually asked a forensic artist to draw what they said with that. And those images, I think they're available on our website site too. But. So it's really packed with information. I think the most significant part in terms of the disclosure issue is the techniques they suggest for deceiving the public to keep them away from the crash sites. You know, tell them it's a crashed airplane, tell them it's a toxic spill, tell them it's a crashed satellite. And so clearly they were desperate to use any technique they could think of to keep the public away.